Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shops, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls, I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. So it's less than a week until Theresa May's deal is voted on in the House of Commons. And before we reach that point on Tuesday, the plan was to unveil a concession on the backstop to MPs so that Brexiters could judge whether this was good enough. James, is there any sign of a concession incoming?
In short, no. And this is the problem, which is Geoffrey Cox reiterated in the House of Commons today that he'll publish his written legal advice. And the kind of crucial thing was there was an expectation in government that he would be able to get enough to change his written legal advice. And remember, his advice had previously warned of the risk of the UK being trapped in the backstop indefinitely. At the moment, the talks in Brussels are not going well enough to think that he is going to get to change his advice. And this is the kind of crucial question now, which is he had a dinner on Tuesday night. It did not go well. I think a sign of how much worse it went than the UK government expected was, but I understand that on Wednesday morning, Theresa May cancelled a bunch of meetings to kind of huddle with advisers to think about what to do. And so the kind of question now becomes, you know, are we going to see something emerging at the last minute before the vote on Tuesday? Or is Theresa May going to be in this awful situation of basically turning up to the Commons with almost nothing and basically saying, I know you defeated this by 230 votes last time, but can we please vote on it again?
Fraser, in this week's Spectator, the magazine's leader says that if Geoffrey Cox does succeed in Brussels, it's time for Brexiters to hold their nose and back this deal because no deal is starting to look very hard to achieve with the current numbers in the Commons. What do you think he needs to come back with?
Well, this is the, you know, £39 billion question. He previously has said that he wanted to get a time limit to it or that he wanted to get an eject button that would make it a standard international contract, one where either party can dissolve with enough notice. But now that Downing Street is talking about perhaps a third option here. But he would come back with some complicated legal manoeuvre, which it's difficult to understand or explain. But the upshot of this would it will allow him to say that this is not a trap, that we would be able to get out of this, that we would not be stuck in the backstop indefinitely. Now, here's the question. Could you really trust Geoffrey Cox, a government member, to give an objective assessment about the deal? I mean, the ERG don't trust him. That's why they've got their own legal advice willing to consult. I've got no doubt that that legal advice that will say whatever Cox comes back with doesn't cut the mustard. But and I could perhaps be naive here, but I am inclined to trust Geoffrey Cox's judgment on this for two reasons. One is that he does strike me as an unusually honest politician. He was under huge pressure before to say that Theresa May's deal wasn't really a trap, and Downing Street had given his own guidance to ministers to that effect. Yet he was still willing, as Attorney General, to write his own personal guidance, which contradicted that of Number 10 and effectively led to her deal being destroyed. But also, let's remember that Geoffrey Cox is a lawyer first and a politician second. Now, to a lot of people, the words lawyer and politician, neither of them will have positive connotations. But he will know that this government will not be forever. It won't be for long till he's back in the legal world again. And his reputation will matter a lot. A guy who named his chambers after Thomas More will set his stall by saying what he believes and believing what he says. So he could never really, his name, it would be like Goldsmith after he gave that dodgy legal advice to Blair over the Iraq war. It will destroy your reputation as a lawyer if you lie under government pressure. It's almost like lying for a financial gain. So I think Cox will, for noble and also for longer-lasting professional reasons, tell the truth.
I mean, one might say there are 800,000 reasons why he's going to want his legal advice to be clearly accurate. I mean, it is going to be published, and it would do him no good if it was published and then you had a whole bunch of other lawyers picking holes in it straight away.
And look at what it did to Goldsmith, you know. I mean, it would be the end. Now, of course, this all might be academic because he might not come back with anything that even he can describe as being a get-out clause. That would be a very different thing. Now, I am no fan of Theresa May's deal. I think it is absolutely awful in many ways. We've run the article, the top 40 ways in which it's awful. We could have listed another 40. But if it's a bridge to something better, it's acceptable. It's a compromise. It's something you could live with as long as it were a pathway to a better Brexit. As a destination in itself, it isn't. acceptable. It's Cox's mission to turn this into a bridge.
Now, James, as Fraser just touched on, some Brexiteers do see this deal as palatable on the condition that things are not the same in the second half of the negotiations. So in that second half, the government doesn't make the same mistakes it made in the first half. And crucial to correcting that by some is the idea that you'd have a new leader. Do you think Theresa May is going to be under pressure to depart number 10 once this deal gets through?
I think there is a very interesting question, which is, if Geoffrey Cox comes back with something, but it's not huge, you know, what else does Theresa May have to offer that might get some more votes? And there isn't that much left in terms of Tory votes, sorry. We've seen the things that have been offered to try and get Labour votes, this £1.6 billion towns fund, you know, frankly too small, promises on that the Commons will vote every time the EU changes its workers' rights regulations, giving the so the UK could adopt them if it so chose to do. The question to Tory MPs, what does she have to offer? And one of the things that would show that things would be different in the second half of the negotiations would be a different Prime Minister. I think she will be extremely reluctant to make that offer. But I think if you got to a position where it was clear that it could make the difference between the deal passing and not passing, then I think she would come under huge pressure. Given that her whole thing is that, you know, she's doing this out of a sense of duty and service, if this is what delivers an orderly Brexit, is her departure, then I think there would be a lot of people. But I think that one of the things is that pressure on her will only build if you have a large number of people saying it. And I spoke to someone this morning who said the problem is no one wants to say it publicly because it makes it sound like this is about personality rather than policy.
Should Theresa May's deal be rejected next week, there is some talk that Brexit will get softer. And Jeremy Corbyn has held a meeting with various MPs who are pushing for a softer Brexit, something along the lines of an EEA model, figures like Nick Bowles. James, do we think we're going to see a new coalition form around an alternative Brexit deal?
Yeah, I think this is something that Brexiteers who are planning to vote against Theresa May's deal really need to think about. Now, they are right to say that there are not the votes in the Commons for a second referendum. So at the moment that would fail. Interestingly, Jeremy Corbyn, who is supposedly backing a second referendum, is now quite clearly playing footsie with the Norway Plus Brigade. And this, I think, is something that Brexiteers really worry about, because if Labour came out for Norway Plus and whipped heavily for it, it could possibly garner a majority in the House of Commons. And I think this is the point, right? You've got to be able to count in politics. And there's no way that if Theresa May's deal is voted down, the Commons is then going to vote the next day for no deal, for all the reasons we discussed on the podcast yesterday and that you set out in your I column. So the question is, what then happens? And I don't see how voting down Theresa May's deal leads to anything other than a softer Brexit, because I think any extension would be accompanied by a renewed parliamentary effort to take control of the process, and that leads you to a softer Brexit, not a harder Brexit.
Now, finally, in the Labour Party, the issue of anti-Semitism rumbles on, and it is now being deemed that the Labour Party may have unlawfully discriminated against Jewish people, and there is a possible human rights probe. The Equality and Human Rights Commission has said it is considering launching a formal investigation into anti-Semitism in the party. In response, the Labour Party have said we completely reject any suggestion the party has acted unlawfully, and they will be cooperating fully with the EHRC. James, is this going to move the dial at all?
I think it does, because if the EHRC do end up investigating Labour, it would be only the second political party to be investigated by the EHRC, and the first was the BNP. That's not company that anyone wants to keep. I also think that on this, one of the important things about all of these inquiries, and I think one of the stumbling blocks to the Charlie Faulkner taking the job, is if these inquiries start going through all the internal email and correspondence, as we've seen from some of the leaked emails and correspondence in the past few days, it becomes very embarrassing for Labour, I think, because you see that some people close to Jeremy Corbyn are interceding on behalf of people who have shared images or said things that I think most reasonable people would consider to cross the line into anti-Semitism. And so I think that is one of the challenges for Labour here. I also think it's interesting because I understand that the EHRC have been handed a dossier by the Jewish Labour movement, which they think kind of documents things that are discrimination against Jews within the Labour Party. And all of this, it means that this story is not going to go away. And secondly, I think the question is, what comes out in these investigations?
Thank you, James. Thank you, Fraser. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe on the iTunes store. And if you really enjoyed it, you could also leave us a review. And we also have an offer you've probably heard of before. When you subscribe for 12 issues for £12, you also get a £20 John Lewis voucher to spend as you choose on their various stores. Just go to www.spectator.co.uk/voucher.